Hello there. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. As always, it's a pleasure to be here with you. We're going to be hanging out, or at least I am, for the next 30 minutes, and I hope you'll be able to stick around and join me. Oh, man, this is a topic this week that is near and dear to my heart, and I have a feeling that it may be one that interests you as well. Don't stop praying. Ooh, do you ever feel like that? Do you ever think, why am I praying? It's not doing any good. God doesn't hear me. I'm tired. I'm frustrated, right? And on and on. And we, unfortunately, sometimes stop praying for something that we really believe we need. Today, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And that message comes across loud and clear. At least it does to me when I prayed over these readings. Don't stop praying. And I pray and I hope that by the end of this program, that if you are lacking confidence in the Lord, if you are losing some of your desire to turn to Him and ask for what you need, and look, let's face it, we all face this at times. We get tired. We get burned out. And we might not even consciously turn away from praying. Maybe we just forget about it, you know? We don't do it as much as we should. And I'm talking specifically about a particular need that we may have. You know, it just may get shifted to the back burner, and we might just say, well, whatever. You know, sometimes whatever is okay, because if it's an acceptance of God's will. But sometimes it's not okay. Sometimes it's just lack of confidence in the Lord. So let's let Him speak through me today. We're going to pray in just a minute or two and ask Him to send His Holy Spirit so that I can deliver a message that will build up your hope in the Lord and give you the peace that you need and the desire to keep praying. So without further ado, let's do it. Let's pray and let's turn to our Father in heaven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for being present with us. Father, we know through faith that you are with us. We know that you can hear us. We know that you're bigger than our problems. We know that you want what's best for us. We know that you do answer all prayers. Sometimes not as quickly as we'd like. Sometimes not in a way we would like. But we know you do answer. Father, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to spend time in your presence. Furthermore, thank you for the opportunity to be able to turn to you while we are in your presence and ask for what we need. It's hard to trust you sometimes, Father, because you know so much better than we do, that we often end up asking for things that won't be good for us, or at least at this time might not be good for us. And that's where we have to trust you. So, Father, we're going to choose to do that today. No matter how we feel, we're going to choose to place our trust in you. May your will be done in our lives. Please accept all of our intentions, whatever they may be. You know them. Those things we desire, those things we may have been praying for years. We give them once again to you, Father, and ask you to answer our prayers in your time. And in the meantime, please give us the confidence in you and the peace to wait. You know me, Father. I have a hard time waiting. Help us to wait. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for the world. We pray for our church. We pray for all the souls in purgatory. We pray for healing in body, mind, and spirit for those who are sick. We pray for all those who struggle with mental illness or anxiety disorders. We pray for those who are discouraged, even hopeless or suicidal today. We pray for the homeless, the homebound, those in hospitals, nursing homes, prisons, rehab facilities. We pray for those who have left the church. We pray for those who hate you, Father, those who are angry with you, those who don't know it's possible to have a relationship with you. We pray for those looking for work, especially those who are unemployed. We pray for those souls who are in most need of your mercy, Father. And Father, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit down upon me so that I can deliver the message you wish me to deliver this day. And please open all of our hearts and our minds to hear your words and to be willing to put them into practice. Father, as I always do, I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there you go. Thank you for praying with me. It's always a great privilege to be able to not only be in the presence of our Heavenly Father, but to have you pray along with me. It really means a lot. It means a lot to me that you're here. You know, today's kind of a blah day for me, I'll be honest with you. It's very warm here on the East Coast. I like the summer, but it just kind of zaps my energy sometimes. I don't know if you feel the same way. Even though I have air conditioning in the house, I still just feel it when I have to go outside or whatever. So I'm feeling a little blah today. But the minute I turn on this recording, the minute I sit before this microphone, the minute I start thinking about you here with me and the Lord with us, my spirits start to be lifted. So even though I might still feel a little blah, I'm very grateful. And I am so uplifted to be with you today on this program. You know, it does mean a lot to me that you make it a point to tune into this show every week. That's why I do it. I do it first and foremost for God, because I think it's what he wants me to do. But secondly, I do it for you. If you didn't listen, there would be no need for me to do this program. So I'm grateful. Thank you. Let's keep praying for one another. Okay, that would mean a lot to me. And, you know, I am very grateful. If you want to find out more about my work, please visit followingthetruth.com. And by the way, my new book, Lord Save Me, if it's not out already, you know, sometimes it comes out, it's due to be released August the 8th. But it always manages to get released a few days earlier, sometimes a week or two earlier. If it's not out already, it will be out within a matter of days. If you'd like to order a copy of that book, which is all about praying for in times when you need God to be absolutely real. You might be there right now. You know, it's one thing to pray when things are going relatively well in your life. Lord, please bless me, bless my family, bless our country. You know, that's an easy prayer to pray. But when you have no money in your bank account, when you're fighting a serious illness, when you're lonely, when somebody you love has just died, when you need a job, you know, when your children have left the church and you're concerned about them, when you need God to be real and to answer in a concrete way, this book is for you. You know, this fits in nicely with the topic this week. Don't stop praying. So anyway, you can find out more about the book and pre-order it or order it at followingthetruth.com. You can also sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, totally free of charge, or invite me to speak at your parish or your conference. You know, this is very interesting. Next Lent of 2026, I have openings. I have a lot of openings this year. This has never happened before. Last year I had some, they got filled up. But I'm very free this Lent. So if you want to bring me in for a Give Up Worry for a Lent parish mission or a talk, now would be a good time to do it. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, let me take a sip of my water with a nice slice of lemon in it, and we're going to get started. You ready to go? All right, let's do this. We'll read the gospel first, as I always do. You know, I try to say it every week because I realize you might be a first-time listener. I believe we should lead with the gospel because this is what the church tells us. The gospel has a prominent place among the books of the Bible. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And really, what happens with the Sunday Mass readings in ordinary time, the Gospel readings, the passages that are chosen for each Sunday, they proceed sequentially. So we're just going bit by bit through the Gospel of Luke this year. And the first reading and the responsorial psalm are specifically chosen to match the Gospel. So the church is looking for a theme, is trying to deliver a theme. So the gospel leads the way, the other readings back it up, and then the second reading, much like the gospel, also proceeds in a sequential way. But I like, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to try to find a connection even between the second reading. Even though it's not specifically chosen, in ordinary time to match the gospel. I always believe that the Holy Spirit can give us some sort of a connection. So let's see if the Holy Spirit comes through today. But let's start with the gospel, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And I really do think you're going to find this message very relevant today. Jesus was praying in a certain place. You know, I could stop right there. What a message. Jesus was praying in a certain place. He went to a designated place to pray. Jesus. And yet sometimes we kid ourselves and think that prayer's not important. Prayer's a communication between us and God. It's a relationship. It's how we exercise our relationship and grow closer to the Lord. Yes, asking for things, that's a part of it. And that's going to be the theme we'll see today. It's a very important part of prayer. But prayer's more than that. So we really never want to neglect prayer. If Jesus found time to pray, man, I think I should be able to. Right? Amen. Man, that's a first line. I'm already getting started. Whew, let me continue. And when Jesus finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test.'" Essentially, this is the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father that Jesus is teaching. And, you know, if you ever think sometimes that once Jesus came, we don't need to address God anymore. Look at what Jesus is telling us. He's saying, pray to your Father. We pray in the name of Jesus or in Jesus as a member of his church, but we want to make sure we keep talking to the Father. I struggled with that for so many years. And now I realize that we're supposed to talk to not just Jesus, but the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. And also the saints and the angels, you know, your guardian angel, the Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, your patron saint. We don't have to exclusively talk to Jesus. In fact, we're encouraged to talk to other people too. Yes, all of our prayers go through Jesus, but we need to talk to the Father too. And this is what the Lord is telling us. And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So, obviously, as you look at these readings, and there's a lot here in this gospel, but we have the other readings to cover, so I'm not going to have unlimited time to discuss it. Jesus is encouraging persistence. Keep praying. If you think you need something, ask. Every time you pray, you will get an answer. Immediately, you'll get an answer. And here's what I mean by that. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. And, you know, sometimes you pray, you get that immediate answer. Rarely, but sometimes you do. And there's a third answer. Wait, or not yet, right? That's an answer too. And I think that's, at least with me, it helps to think of that. And to remind myself that every time I pray, the Lord speaks back to me. Okay, Gary, I heard you. Not yet. Gary, I heard you. I'm afraid the answer is no. It's not good for you. Or the answer is yes. But I think not yet is the most common answer that we get from the Lord when we pray for a certain intention. It doesn't necessarily, very rarely, I think, gets answered immediately. You know, in the middle of prayer, we get our answer. So I'm going to tell you that in the hopes of encouraging you to keep going. First, to listen to Jesus. Be persistent. You're not bothering the Lord by asking for what you need. And I'm going to read this first reading now, because this is a clear example of persistence and somebody who appears to be bothering God, but who isn't. All right, you ready for this? Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 through 32. In those days, the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sins so grave that I must go down and see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out." When Abraham's visitors walked on farther towards Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. Then Abraham drew nearer and said, "Will you sweep away the innocent with the guilty? Suppose there were 50 innocent people in the city. Would you wipe out the place rather than spare it for the sake of your 50 innocent people within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice?" The Lord replied, "If I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham spoke up again, "See how I am presuming to speak to my Lord, even though I am but dust and ashes. What if there are 5 less than 50 innocent people? Will you destroy the whole city because of those 5? He answered, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." But Abraham persisted, saying, "What if only 40 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it for the sake of the 40. Then Abraham said, "Let not my Lord grow impatient if I go on. What if only 30 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it if I can find but 30 there." Still, Abraham went on, "Oh boy, since I have thus dared to speak to my Lord, what if there are no more than 20? The Lord answered, "I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. But he still persisted, Please let not my Lord grow angry if I speak up the last time. What if there are at least 10 there?" And he replied, "For the sake of those 10, I will not destroy it." Now, when we consider the fact that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, and the Lord is saying, if there's at least 10 good people there, I'm not going to destroy it, Abraham. That goes to show how few the number of good people there were in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? So here's the lesson. When you couple this with the gospel, what I get clearly is persistence in prayer, right? Now, as you're, you know, picture yourself being Abraham, you know, okay, Lord, one more thing. Let me ask you, okay, you said 50. How about 40? How about 35? You know, eventually, if you view God as a human being, he's going to get annoyed and say, "Look, stop bothering me." But see, God doesn't do that. And that's what Jesus tried to teach us in the gospel. Pester him. Bug him. He wants you to ask for what you need. He understands that you don't know what's best. But you know, when you pray, if you want to make sure you're praying in accordance with God's will, always throw in, "But not your will, Father, but not my will, Father, but your will be done." That's the way Jesus taught us to pray. Your will be done. And therefore, even if you don't know if God wants you to have what you're asking for, you're still praying along with his will, in his perfect will, by saying, "Here's what I want, but not as I want, Lord, but as you want. Only if you want this for me do I want it." Because we don't know what's best for us. A lot of times things look good, but they're not really good. But even though it feels unnatural sometimes, and you might feel like you're pushing your luck, keep asking the Lord for what you need. Spend time praising him, thanking him, and asking for forgiveness as well as asking for what you need, but make sure you don't stop asking for something that you believe is good for you or good for someone you know. The Lord will say no when the time is right. If the answer is no, he's eventually going to say, I'm sorry, but no. And then you can move on. But don't move on too early. All right? That's the important message here. Psalm 138 is the responsorial psalm. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. See, this ties into what I was saying about answered prayer. Your prayers get answered immediately. Sometimes we get so caught up in wanting what we want that we'll say, no, my prayer wasn't answered. Well, yes, it was, but you didn't like the answer. I struggle with this. And I have to remember, it's not a matter of demanding what I want. It's asking God for what I think is best for me. You know, we don't see it sometimes. But honestly, if you truly believed that something wasn't good for you, would you really ask for it? And look, when God talks about something, when we look at something being good for you, in God's eyes, it means, will this thing help me to get to heaven? And that's not easy to keep your eyes fixed on heaven. We live in a distracting world. And we as fallen human creatures, we have a lot of self-love in us. I know I do. You know, sometimes I don't want to suffer. And okay, so this thing might not be good for me, but it's going to feel good to me right now, so I want it. Yeah, but what if it's going to help me get to heaven? Well, I don't know. I don't want to worry about that now, right? I just want to feel good. This is what we go through as humans. And the Lord knows that, and he wants to work with us. Because he doesn't just want us to be happy in this life. He wants to be happy, us to be happy forever in heaven. And sometimes that means he's going to have to say no to our requests. All right, on the day I called for help, Lord, you answered me. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name. You know, you can offer up that prayer today. A prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, you've heard me. I prayed. You heard me and you answered me. You know, you don't have to feel it. You don't have to really like the answer. But you can thank him for hearing and answering your prayer. Because of your kindness and your truth, for you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. The Lord is exalted, yet the lowly he sees. And the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk amid distress, you preserve me. Against the anger of my enemies, you raise your hand. Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. Not 2 weeks from now, not a month from now, not a year from now, but on the day I called for help, you answered me. And remember, wait or not yet is a valid answer. And it's the one we get the most from the Lord in prayer. All right, let's look at this second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Brothers and sisters, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. Now, it's a bit tricky with this reading. This is to tie it into this theme of persistence in prayer. But St. Paul reminds us that when we were baptized, we were incorporated into Christ. He says, buried with him in baptism. But we're also raised with him through faith in the power of God. Now, if I want to extract a piece of this reading and use it as part of our theme, how about through faith in the power of God? Right? If we take that one little piece, there's a lot more to this passage, but if we try to tie it with all the other readings today and go with that theme of don't stop praying, we need to tap into our faith, our faith in God, so that even when we don't feel like praying, even when it seems like our prayers are fruitless, through faith we keep going. You know, that's the spiritual journey. We walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, we're supposed to, right? A lot of times we don't. We walk by sight and not by faith. I'm very dependent on my feelings, or I have a tendency to depend on my feelings. But as a follower of Jesus, as somebody who wants to be a disciple and become more like Christ, I'm learning to ignore my feelings sometimes, actually all the time, and rely on my faith. You know, sometimes the feelings are going to be there. Sometimes when you pray or you receive the Eucharist or the sacrament of confession or you read Scripture, you get good feelings, but not always. And the Lord sometimes will suppress those good feelings or those consolations so that you can learn to walk by faith. And you'll depend more on faith than on your feelings. That's what he wants. In this life, we're called to walk by faith. And that's our relationship with the Lord exists by faith and not by sight. And sometimes he's going to have to take away the good feelings so that we'll learn to lean on faith instead of feelings. And I don't like that, right? I like good feelings. They're great. It's a lot easier to pray when I'm feeling good. But I'm feeling the presence of the Lord. But that, more often than not, that doesn't happen. So that's why it's a good thing the church gives us these readings today, to encourage us to keep praying, even when we don't feel like it, even when it seems like it's ineffective. Jesus tells us, read that gospel again. He tells us, you pray, and you're going to get an answer. Don't stop praying, okay? Thank you so much for listening. It was a good show today. Well, I have to say, if I have to say so myself, I love the topic. I love these readings. Hope you enjoyed it as well. If you want to drop me a line, let me know what you thought of the program. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Feel free to reach out to me anytime. I'd love to hear from you. If you like my full-time ministry, if you find it helpful, if you'd like to make a donation to keep me going, you can do that at followingthetruth.com. In the meantime, I hope you have a great week. I'm going to be praying for you. I look forward to joining you next week, God willing. Thanks again. And remember, don't stop praying.